If I were to ask the question tonight, how many would like to see revival take place? Could you raise your hand? How many would like to see that take place? Okay, so I think most hands are up. How many are listening right now? Okay. All right, I think most people would like to see that take place. Another question would be, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? In 2 Kings, we're going to start here. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, there were some leprous men sitting at the gate here. Jerusalem or Israel was under siege here. Israel was under siege, and there was some men sitting here, leprous men, and they asked the question at the end of the verse. They say, why sit we here until we die? You know, they could just sit around and die, or they could do something about the plight that they were in. And they're like, let's do something. Let's take some risk and see something happen. And God was able to use these four leprous men to show them the great victory that he had wrought in Israel. And tonight I'd like us to look at some passages in 2 Chronicles. And we're going to look at some passages in which people got away from God. And we're going to see some passages in which God worked in people's lives. And there's some different maybe ingredients here that God used, but I'd like to really just focus on one simple ingredient that we can see in these passages to God doing a work in these people's lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, here we can see reverse revival, if I can put it that way, a little alliteration there, but reverse revival taking place, the opposite. You know, going away from revival, going away from God working. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Here we find the opposite of revival taking place. What did Rehoboam do? He forsook the law of the Lord. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we see a work of God taking place through the life of Asa. And it says in verse number 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves. What is Asa doing here in verse number 3? Well, I would like to simplify it, so to speak. Asa was here obeying God. He was obeying the laws of God. He was getting rid of the false worship. What does it say? What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What's commandment number 2? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. We find here Asa is obeying God. Verse number 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and what? And to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. It says in verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. We find the key ingredient was obedience to the law of God. in 2 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we see a continuation here in the life of Asa. And it says here in verse number 2, here's Oded going out. It says, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, if we go down to verse 8, it says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Here we find obedience to God. Notice verse number 10. Well, verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Notice verse 15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Now again, what was the key ingredient? What were the people doing here? Verse number 8, they were obedient to God. They got rid of the false worship out of the land. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we find Asa going backwards. And he gives in to secular thinking. And he pays off Ben-Hadad so that he would break off his alliance with Baasha. And instead of relying upon the Lord to provide deliverance, he uses secular means to accomplish this victory, so to speak. And it says in verse number 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And here Asa turned away from obedience to God, of reliance upon God, and instead he chose to find his deliverance in a different place. I'd like us to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Notice this revival that takes place in the days of Jehoshaphat. Verse 3 says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father's father. And notice there, notice next here, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Verse number 6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, what's the result? He took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Notice what who he sent throughout Israel, what he wanted them to do. In verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben, a number of people here. And verse 8, and with them he sent Levites. Then go to verse 9, and what do they do? And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Notice, as the people knew the word of God, notice the working that God did, the supernatural protection that God brought upon them. The fear of the Lord fell upon these other nations, and God wrought a protection upon them. Notice the key place that the word of God took in the land of Judah. Notice in verse 4, he walked in his commandments. I'd like us to go to 2 Chronicles chapter, I know we're going a lot of places, but 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse number 20. Where we find, here's Joash. Joash, while Jehoiada was alive, the priest, he walked in the ways of God. But Jehoiada dies, and here we find a reverse revival, if we can put it that way, taking place in his life. And he had hearkened to the princes of the land. He hearkened unto them, and it says in verse number 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Who did Jehoshaphat begin to listen to? Well, verse number 17, he began to listen to the princes of Judah. What was one of the results? Verse number 24, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Here we find the opposite taking place, and what do? They forsook God's commandments, and they walked in the ways of men. If we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, we see this again, the opposite taking place. Verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel forbear? Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Notice the lack of obedience here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we find the downfall of Uzziah, one of the downfalls of Uzziah. In verse number 18, well, let's begin in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now, if you remember, one of the phrases that was used before is that their heart was lifted up, how? In the ways of who? Ways of the Lord. But here we find his heart was lifted up to his destruction, lifted up in himself. He was lifted up in pride. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him and went with him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Here we find the leprosy here that came upon Uzziah. Why? He had disobeyed God. Think of Uzzah when David was seeking to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. And as he just simply was seeking to steady the Ark of the Covenant on that cart, in which they had disobeyed God and brought it on the cart instead of it being carried by the Levites. And as soon as he did that, what took place? He instantly died. And we think, boy, I mean, Uzzah had, I mean, they were really trying to do something right. I mean, David was seeking to worship God, but they were doing it in the wrong way, not according to the prescribed manner that God had done. And Uzziah here was lifted up in his pride and was not worshiping God according to the prescribed manner. He was living in disobedience. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 6, we find again someone who did the opposite. It says, "For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men." 120,000. It says they were valiant men. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. I would say this is quite a picture of a reverse revival here. 120,000 people died. Well, why is that? Let's go to the beginning of chapter 28. It says, "Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Baalim. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sin of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of Syria." Into the hand of the king of Syria. So here we see the reverse taking place, disobedience and what it brought against them. I'd like us to move forward to Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Notice what takes place. Verse number 3. "He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said to them, 'Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord, unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to an astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes." Here's a man, he comes to reign. First month, first year of his reign, what does he decide to do? We're going to obey God. Things are going to change. What does he do? What's the first thing? He repairs, it says, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He paved the way. He began the first thing, let's open the doors to the house of the Lord. You know, tonight maybe there are some doors, so to speak, that need to be opened in your life. Maybe doors of faithfulness to church, doors of communication with God, doors of Bible reading, doors of witnessing. And you know, here Hezekiah repaired the doors. Why? We are going to obey God. We're going to seek after the God of heaven. It says in verse 15, "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord." In chapter 30, verse 5, notice the last part of the verse. It says, "For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. Verse number 7 and 8 of the same chapter says, "And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation as ye see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." And then verse number 12, it says, "Also in Judah the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord." We find in chapter 31 that there was a complete effort. It was a complete and unified effort. It says there, "Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priest and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord." You know, it was key that the people supplied the Levites with their portion so that they could serve God like he wanted them to, like it was God's plan for them to do. And so there needed to be a unified effort in what was done. It says in verse number 20, in verse 21 of chapter 31, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." Now we could look, you know, in the life of Hezekiah, we had the opposite. You know, in verse 25 of chapter 32, it talks about how his heart was lifted up in pride. Or his heart was lifted up. We could go forward and we could look at the life of Josiah and some of what took place under his guidance. And one thing I'd like, the big key I'd like us to see tonight is we look at all these verses. As we see a working of God taking place, what is one of the big key ingredients? Is that people decided that they were going to obey God. Amen. You know, we can take revival and we can make it all sorts of things. You know, and sometimes we can maybe pull history books out. And I'm not saying we should read about revivals and the mighty workings of God that have taken place. You know, and sometimes though we can sit and we can begin to daydream and think, boy, it would be really nice if this would take place in our country, in our land. And it's great to long for those things to take place. But we can sit around and want something to happen, but not do anything about it. And the leprous man said, "Why sit we here until we die? Let's do something." And here in the land of Judah, what did they need to do? They needed to simply take God's word and obey it. And I wonder tonight if each one of us began tonight, get home. And you know, there's something you know God wants you to do. And you do it. And you know, you wake up tomorrow morning. And you know, you get up. And you have your devotions like you know God wants you to have them. You know, you're tempted maybe to say that unkind word, but instead you obey God. You know God wants you to witness to that coworker, and instead of being ashamed of the gospel, you step out by faith and you obey God, and you're that witness that God wants you to be. And just those little steps of obedience, of those commandments that you know, taking them and simply obeying God. You know, I wonder what would take place in our church as each one of us stepped out and simply obeyed God. in our lives. You know, it's such a simple truth, but sometimes we miss the boat because we miss the simple truths that God has for us, that we know. And we can sit there, you know, and we obviously, I know in my life, don't do it like I should. But we can pray for God to work, but yet we can maybe get up and then do exactly something that God would not want us to do. And then we think, do we really want God to work? You know, we can do things that are outside of God's will, and how can we expect God to work? What do we need to do? We need to just simply step out and do what God's word says. And you know what? If we seek Him, we'll be what? We'll be found of Him. You know, are you willing just to step out and simply obey God? You know, many times what took place, they would what? They'd make a covenant with God. A commitment to what? To obedience. You know, tonight, are we willing to step out and just simply obey God? Now, are you willing to take that challenge in your life? You know, you walk in the doors of that home. And there might be some temptation. You know, we know the temptations that we face. But are we really serious about obeying God? You know, that thing God's tugging on your heart right now, are you willing to obey Him? And are we going to get serious and dedicated to realizing, you know what? I want revival to take place. I need to just start obeying God. You know, and each one of us as believers would start obeying God. Guess what? This church would be what God wants it to be. And guess what? If a church is what God wants it to be, then I would say that is a church that's having revival. Why? Because we're just simply obeying God. You know, there might be some special formula here and some special formula there, but the simplest formula is, I think, what we see in the book of 2 Chronicles, and that is, let's start obeying God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we need Your strength and Your power to obey it. But yet, Lord, we just need to step out and obey it, and You'll give us the strength to do it. And Lord, I pray tonight that You'd give each one of us a vision, so to speak, as we look at these lives and just the amazing things that You did as these people began to seek and obey You. And Lord, tonight, how our lives could be transformed. Lord, in raising our children, if we would just follow what You've said in Your word. Lord, if we would just simply obey You in the area of soul winning. Lord, in many other areas in our lives. Lord, in our actions towards one another, in our relationships with others. Lord, I pray that there would be a revival of obedience in our lives. And Lord, even tonight, that You would show us those areas that we need to start obeying You. And Lord, that we would do it and follow Your plan. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.